I was buried beneath my shame. You can carry that kind of weight.
As you go about your days, that you won't just be going through the motions, but that you remember that each day you have a purpose as a Christian. Maybe there's someone that needs you that day, and every move that you make is because of him, and he should be part of your day every day. Every breath I take, I breathe in you. You guys know this song. It's an older one. Let's sing it out.
Every move I make, I'm making you. You know.
Next song uses a word that describes God's love for us. I've always said this before this song came out, I'd never used this word or heard this word about God's love, and the word is reckless. When you think of God, you don't think of God being reckless, but in our minds, it's more about us, because in our minds, we can't understand that kind of love that would come here and do what he did and die for us. Choosing to do that, knowing coming here he's going to die, knowing that a lot of us are just going to not, or we're going to reject him, or a lot of us are going to fail, but he did it anyway. That's reckless to us in our eyes, but it wasn't reckless to him, because he sees our potential even when we don't see it. Amen. So as we prepare our hearts for communion this morning, I want you to understand and realize the cost of that reckless love this morning.
Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. You have been so, so good to me. Before I took a breath, you breathed your life in me. Been so, so kind to me. Your foe, still your love. so kind to me.
Listen, we've been doing this thing. We actually just finished it up here this past week. We were watching that TV show, The Chosen, and we had a group that was coming out, and we were kind of, you know, watching what we saw and then studying the word that corresponded with the episode. And it was kind of neat because it was able to give us some new perspectives and stuff. And so I think about that because I've realized that when we read the scriptures, what was written down for us was the essentials of what we needed. And I think we sometimes lose a little bit of the personality of the people in the Bible, in the New Testament specifically, when we read it because maybe it wasn't necessarily relevant. You know, we just needed to know what we needed to know. It was neat because it broadened my mind a little bit because as we watched this show, we saw the camaraderie of the disciples with Christ. And we saw a little bit of Jesus' humor. It wasn't just straight scriptures of this is how you live, this is this, this is this. Jesus was probably a really down-to-earth guy that was easy to talk to. And so I think about that. They didn't have an episode on this topic, but as I was thinking about communion, I was kind of trying to picture in my mind what this might have actually looked like. You know, because we think about this. These guys would have been gathering to eat all the time, and they would have done this Passover meal together, you know, every year. These guys have been wandering around doing ministry with Jesus for about 3 years at this point in time. And the way I see it is they're sitting around this table, and they're, you know, they're laughing, and they're talking, and they're going on about stuff. But then suddenly Jesus gets a little quiet. And he's like, come on, all right, listen up, guys. Like, I got something I got to tell you. And so this might have been, you know, what they've seen Jesus do this before, but this might have been a little different. And so they're all reclined back at the table, and he says, listen, guys, this is going to be the last time that I eat with you until we get to my kingdom. And so you think about what must have been going through their head at that time, because they're thinking, okay, Jesus, we ate with you yesterday. We ate with you the day before. We're eating with you today. And you've never said anything like this. So what is going on right now? What I want you to do as we go into this next song, I want you to put yourself there. In the context of what you would have known to be true about Christ up to that point, what has happened, what you've seen him do in the prophecies of the Old Testament, put yourself there. Recognize that your friend that you've been wandering around with for 3 years and you've been learning everything from has just said something really, really intense. Your friend is saying he's not going to eat with you again until you get to the kingdom. Put yourself there for a minute. We're going to sing this last song, and then we'll come together as a family to take the bread and the juice together. I believe it's in the Gospel of Luke where it's brought out that You know, Peter's the guy that would have told Jesus, as Jesus starts talking about his demise and betrayal and all these things, he's like, I'm not going to do that. That's not going to be me, and this stuff's not going to happen, right? Like, and he was always that guy that would be there to Jesus' defense, thinking especially the soldier when he cut his ear off, right? And so this was Peter's attitude, but Jesus presses on to give them a lesson that Peter would take note of later on when he's starting the early church in the book of Acts. But Jesus says to them, and this is found in Luke 22. He said, let me find it here. Sorry, guys. Verse 19, he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it and he gave it to them saying, this is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. And so let's do that now as a family. And I'm again trying to picture, like, if I'm there, I'm like, what are you talking about? Like what is happening right now? And it would have challenged their thinking on what they thought how it was going to be fulfilled, prophecy. And they're probably starting to realize things are going to start happening. This guy that we've been with for all this time, he's talking like he's not going to be here anymore. And so when Jesus was done in the same way, after supper, he took the cup and he said, this is the cup of the new covenant, in my blood, which is poured out for you. It's just like they would have on that evening. We're going to take it together as a family. Hindsight's always 20/20, and sometimes I know I have in the past been like, well, how would they have not known what Jesus was talking about? Man, put yourself there. It would have been intense. It would have been a crazy experience. And so one thing that I want to leave you guys with that it sticks with me when I read that whole thing. It's that key part where Jesus says, I'm not going to eat with you again until my kingdom. And the amazing thing, guys, he said that to them 2,000 years ago, and that truth still holds firm now. And that day when he finally eats with his disciples again in his kingdom in heaven, we get to be a part of that. That's amazing to me when I think about it. It seems like it was so long ago, and yet those truths are going to feel like a mist, like just happened yesterday. And when eternity comes, it's just going to be amazing. So let's do this. Let's pray, and then we'll go into our message. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for that truth and that we're able to carry with us. We get to be a part of that heavenly reunion on that day. Where you're gonna join us in communion again, and which hasn't happened with you since right before you were put on the cross. So Lord, I thank you for that truth that we're able to hold firm to. Lord, as we dive into your word this morning, I just pray that we would hear truth from you. And that, Lord, I'm not always the best with words. But I guess I'm praying that even if I don't have something written down here this morning, I pray that if it needs to be said, it's said, and it's heard by your people. So God, be with us as we dive into your word in Jesus' beautiful and glorious name. Amen. Awesome. Kids, you guys can head downstairs. Callahan didn't even, he knew. He knew what was up. Yeah, you guys go ahead. I found it funny. He took right off. He didn't wait for me to say nothing. He's like, he said amen. Let's go. Anyway, they're having fun. Michaela had some cool treats that she made. It's kind of neat. I was thinking about it. It kicked into my head this morning. I don't think this has ever happened where I'm up here preaching and my sister's down there teaching the kids. So that's kind of neat. Anyway, I appreciate her, and I love being able to do ministry with her. She does a lot with our kids programs too. And she just started getting involved in junior church as well. So that's awesome. As you guys know, we started this new series a couple weeks ago. And we're diving into this idea of connecting with God. And for some of us, this is going to be reestablishing some connections that we need with our Father. And for some of us, and there's nothing wrong with this, we're going to create some new connections that we never had before with God. And that's going to be awesome as we learn about Him and we dive into this. I hope that we get closer to Him, okay? And so last week, Andrew shared this message to start things off around the idea of connecting with God by doing what with Him? Walking with Him, right? And he shared with us this passage, or not a passage, sorry, the hymn, In the Garden. That's terrible. I know a lot of you guys would know that off the top of your head, and I'm sorry that is it In the Garden that he shared? That's the name of the song? But the lyrics being, like, you guys are looking down on me. I can feel it. Like, how did he not know? Anyway, listen, I didn't grow up listening to that. It wasn't in our hymn book at the Advent Church. Anyway, he shared with us those lyrics. He walks with me and he talks with me and he tells me that I am his own. And so that's kind of where we're going to go with this morning. We're going to dive into our first week on the topic of hearing God. Specifically, we're going to go into misconceptions about hearing God. And that's kind of how this series is going to work. We're going to kind of intertwine these ideas of walking and talking with God, right? And so this morning, we're going to go into hearing God. And now I wanted to be clear in my distinction of words here, because although we also need to learn to listen to God, it's going to be a whole different thing from that. Listening to God's a whole different lesson. We can't listen if we don't hear him first, right? And I don't know about you, but it took me a long time to learn how to be able to hear God clearly. And I still wish I could hear him a little clearer, but that's because it's a journey. And so for some of you, if you're just getting into this journey of learning how to hear him better, I think that's awesome. And I think we should dive deeper into it, because the more we can get in touch with the nature of God, the better off we're going to be. Amen? All right? So that's what we're going to go into. Our primary focus in this section of the series, learning to recognize and hear God when he speaks to us. And I want to start us off on this idea of the fact that our relationship with God is just that. It's a relationship. And I use this a lot in my messages when I'm talking about, you know, how we interact with God, because I really resonate with that. When Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians and he talks about the relationship that we have with God and how it's to be similar to, you know, we see it similarly with our relationships on earth, I get that, and it resonates with me. The more effort we put in, the more we're going to get out of the relationship, kind of thing. So like any relationship, we can't expect to grow if we don't put any work in. Right? Andrew said it last week, and I thought this was a neat little quote that he shared. He was talking about how we should be striving to walk with God more. He said, walk with God for 10 years, and that's great. That's awesome. You'll notice the effects. But walk with him for 20 years, and it should get even better, and it should get even more amazing. I'm paraphrasing. That's essentially the thought that he was sharing. And the same is going to go for hearing him. I think about the example, like Victoria and I have been married for almost 3 years now, which blows my mind that it's been almost 3 years already. And although it's been difficult at times, there have been heated moments. The first couple years have led us to grow closer than we ever were when we first got married. It's just the way it is. The more we keep working on it, the better we're going to work together as a unit. And I'd be dumb if I stopped trying now. She told me that. No. You know what I mean? But it's like I gotta keep working on it, because although I am doing better than I did almost 3 years ago, I need to keep trying, because it's like that principle. You walk with them for 10 years, it's gonna be better than it was at the start, but keep going. 20 years, it's gonna be even better. And so that's how we look at our relationships on this earth. That's how we gotta look at our relationship with God. Like, I want to be even more compatible with Victoria. I want to continue learning how to make her happy and how to strengthen the bond between us. And similarly, the depth of my relationship with God will be determined by the amount of effort that I choose to invest. Okay? It's going to be a big part of the depth of my relationship with God. Got to take that initiative. It's so important that we invest in our relationship with God, because like any relationship, we can't expect all the effort to come from one side. Right? But often we rely on God to put the work in, don't we? Let me explain a little bit, right? It really annoys me, because I've heard this before, when people assume that it should take no effort at all from them to be able to hear God. It's this idea saying, like, if God wants to talk to me, then he'll talk to me and nothing's going to stand in my way. Although there may be some truth in that, because God can do anything, what if he spoke? What if you didn't know what if you couldn't hear him? What if you didn't know how to hear him? Right? Are you sure that if he spoke, you'd be able to hear him? Do you know how God speaks? Have you studied his nature? Have you been investing in that relationship? This bothers me when people expect God to answer them in a certain way. And I don't know if you've ever heard this. Maybe you've done this. I know I have in the past, and it's a gross feeling. But when we expect it to come from him. So like this phrase here, God, I don't do this often, but if you're really out there, then prove it. Have you ever done that before? You just need God to step in because our faith is weak at times. You need him to step in and prove himself. Like, we want God to do all the work so that our relationship with him can be easy for us. God, I need you to step in. If you're really out there, then prove it, right? If you really care about me, then show me by doing blank. We get so frustrated by our inability to hear or understand God that we put him in this kind of ultimatum, you know? God, my relationship with you depends on you coming through for me right now and proving that you can. It's gross, isn't it? Show up in a way that I will see you so that I will believe in you. And sure, sometimes we need God to show up for us in simple and quick ways so that we can understand, because, again, let's face it, our faith can be weak sometimes. But don't be one of those people who only talks to God when they need him to show up. Have you ever been there? Have you ever put God aside all day or all week and then expect him to show up right away when you're desperate? It's like, I'm choosing to pray right now, so listen to me. It's going to be quick, and I'm going to go back to my life. So, God, tune in real quick, right? Like, we're so selfish that way. That's what I've been thinking about this week. What would happen if we did that with any of our other relationships? How would that work? How fair would that appear? It's like, listen, honey, okay? I don't ask for much, okay? But if you love me and you want this marriage to work, I really need you to do the dishes, okay? And it's like, no, that's not going to work, because it's not about one side serving the other, right? If your love in a relationship is dependent on being served by the other individual at a moment's notice all the time, you're probably going to be pretty lonely, right? As Paul says in the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13, love is not self-seeking, right? We got to think about more than just ourselves. It's amazing what can happen when our wants and needs come second to that of those that we love. And catch this, how wonderful would it be if our relationship with our spouse was totally selfless? Both of you seeking to please the other and serve the other, giving, loving, doing things to make them happy. You might be thinking to yourself, okay, well, Kirtland, what if I was totally selfless? I did that for a week. What if I did it for a month? And they're not returning any of it. It's not coming back to me. I would say that if you love them, you got to take that chance. You got to take that chance. Because precedents don't set themselves, right? Take the first step in showing selfless love to your significant other. And in the same way, when it comes to our relationship with God, God is longing to return the favor and bless us. He longs for communication with us. So how about we stop expecting him to put in all the work and we get down in the trenches by serving him and learning how he speaks to us. Again, this week's not necessarily going into the practical how to hear him. This is about misconceptions. This is what not to do. It's crazy. It's crazy. Awesome things will happen when we set ourselves aside in order to be obedient to God. He's just waiting. Okay, so that covers the first idea, that need to put in our share of effort if we want to hear God, right? We need to put in our share of effort. But maybe many of you understand that, and maybe you're extremely invested in your relationship with God, and that part of it's not an issue for you. So in keeping in line with the idea of treating our relationship with God as just that, a relationship, I want to talk about communication, okay? Communication with God. If you have been coming here for any amount of time, where you've read a good portion of your Bible, then you'll know how essential prayer is, right? Prayer is our initiation into conversation with God. But what do your conversations with God look like? Think about that. What do your conversations with God look like? Who does the talking? How often do you pray? Where do you pray? What prompts you to pray? Think about this stuff. We're going to answer some of these questions and go into some of that in later weeks. Do you take the time to listen after you've finished presenting your thoughts to God? That last one's key. Really important. Let me give you an illustration real quick. This idea of, do you take the time to listen after you've finished presenting your thoughts to God? How many have cell phones? Yeah? Yeah, okay. This will be fairly relatable for most people's cell phones. If you don't, And it's still kind of funny, right? It's this idea that, how many of you have ever had your cell phone go off in an embarrassing time? Yeah? Couple? Oh, it's not fun. It's not fun at all, right? I've had that happen before in some really awkward times. In fact, it's on silent right now, and I just got a message, and it didn't ding because I've learned that it sucks to have your phone go off in an embarrassing time. So every time I'm here, even if I'm just drumming or I'm back there doing sound or whatever I'm doing, it's on silent, right? And some of you guys have had those. Anyone have an embarrassing story time your phone went off that you want to share? Yeah. They were like, is there a cat? That's funny. Goes off in the checkout and sounds like a cat. They're wondering where the cat is. That's a good one. Anyone else? These are fun. I enjoy these stories. I got to live one out one time. And it came to me while I was preaching the first service. And I didn't know if I was going to share. It was actually Andrew. I'm going to throw him right under the bus one time it happened. What was that ringtone that he used to have that was really weird? It was like really recently. You remember what it was? Your phone is ringing or something in a really weird voice. Yeah, really weird voice, really loud. Anyway, we're in a really important meeting. Like, we're in Yarmouth. Our district superintendent had come to share a presentation with us. This was about 2 years ago, maybe. And we're sitting in that meeting. And all of a sudden, he was at this really, really intense point of his talk. It just screams out, your phone is ringing, or something dumb like that. And everyone just stares at him, and he's like, oops. And I don't know, I thought it was hilarious because he didn't seem really fazed by it. And I'm like, that'd be horrible. Like, I would hate to have that happen. His example was enough for me to know to turn my phone off all the time. It was like, I was embarrassed for him. Anyway, so my story that I want to tell is last summer I was sitting home and I was watching TV. And I went to check my phone, and it wasn't in my pocket. So I looked around a bit, nothing, couldn't find it. I'm like, where's my phone? And so if you're me, what do you do at this point in time? Panic? No. Yeah, that was my call my phone, right? After the panic. So, I call it. Victoria, can you call my phone? I can't find it. And it's not in my pocket. So she calls it, and we listen, and nothing. And then I remember, oh, no, I had it on silent. Oh, this is going to be horrible. It's like finding a needle in a haystack. Where is it? Is it in the car? Is it at the church? Is it in the driveway? Where is it? Upstairs, downstairs? No sweet clue where this phone is. And so I'm thinking to myself, okay, I'm almost certain I brought it home with me. So let's do this. Let's try and make things a little quieter in the house, and I'll try and find it. So I turn the TV off, and I get her to call again, and we're listening real close. Nothing. So I'm like, okay, it's still too noisy. Victoria, me and you got to stop talking. We got to stop moving. Okay, so we call it again. Trying to listen so carefully. And then what do the dogs do? They're like, this is weird. And so they get up and start walking around. And they're like, no, shut up. So we put the dogs downstairs for a minute. I'm like, okay, try one more time. And so we're listening real close. And I'm like, there's still a noise in the background. What is going on? It's the fan in the corner of the room. And I'm like, oh, this is driving me insane. So I turn off the fan in the corner of the room so that it's absolutely silent. I'm like, call one more time. And I call, and you can just hear that little, and I'm like, it's here. It's here somewhere. It's in the room. And so anyway, where it ends up being, I started digging around the couch. It was deep, deep in the bowels of my sofa. like way in there where you got to lift the couch up and find it. So what is the point of my story? What am I saying here? I'm not saying that God's hiding in your sofa. What I am saying is that sometimes we need to allow God the opportunity to speak to us in absolute silence. Okay? Because it's so easy to get distracted and hear other things and not be able to catch what he's trying to say to us. But not only do we need to make the effort to hear him speak, and this might cut a little bit deep, because deep down, I don't know if we want to hear what he has to say. And I know maybe there's some of you out there that are like, no, it's not me. That's not me. I do want to hear what God has to say. I'm always saying, God, your will. I want to know what you want, kind of thing. And maybe that's your prayer, but I want you to think about this for a sec. Bear with me. What is far too often the problem with prayer? We talk to God, we pour ourselves out, we thank him, we present our request to him, and then rather than participate in an ongoing conversation with God, we conclude our prayer, leave the ball in his court, and go about our day. That's a problem. Our conversations with God are far too often one-sided. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Lean not on your own understanding. Very key part of that verse. Well, if I'm the only one that I'm allowing to talk, then my understanding is going to be the only thing present in the conversation. If I don't allow God the opportunity to speak, then how on earth am I going to get anyone's opinion other than mine? You know what I mean? If I conclude my prayer and I conclude that the appropriate way for God to respond is to answer my prayer by either doing or not doing blank, then I'm not leaning on his understanding. I'm not listening to what he has to say. I'm leaning on my own. I'm saying what I got to say. Good, we're good. Getting out of here, right? We go about our day. We're not leaning on him. Psalm 25, 4 to 5. Show me your ways, Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior. Are we seeking his ways, or are we anticipating that he sees things our way? Some really intense things to think about when it comes to prayer. And in later weeks, we can get into the specifics of how to hear. But this week, the focus needs to be what not to do. Okay? And what we don't want to do is to do all the talking without taking the nature of God himself into consideration and listening to what he has to speak to us. We cannot treat God the same way that we treat Santa Claus. Okay? I know that sounds silly. But man, oh man, think about our prayers, right? God, I think you should help me in this way. God, I've done well. I've been good, right? I've done well. Where are my blessings and why am I still struggling? God, this is what I would like to have happen. God, please intervene and make the impossible possible. We don't even consider anyone else when we pray that prayer. We're just like, don't care how it affects existence, but I'd like you to help me. Make the impossible possible. Is it okay to ask God for things? Yeah, I think so. Absolutely. He tells us to. But is it okay to expect your will to exceed the will of God? No. Nathan Finocchio says in his book, and this is a large part of what this series is, or a section of it anyway, is coming from, is this guy wrote a book, and he looks kind of rugged. But he's actually, like, if you listen to his interviews and stuff, he's a really smart guy. He's the worship slash teaching slash preaching, like, he does a ton of stuff, pastor at Hillsong Church in New York City. And so he's got a pretty big platform. Anyway, he wrote this book. I think it's the only book that he wrote. It's this book, Hearing God. And this was one of the thoughts that he shared, this idea of, you know, our Santa Claus Jesus kind of thing, right? And he said that. He said, God is not like Santa Claus. Santa exists only for the child. And that one stuck with me because it made me think about that. Like, of course we hear God is not like Santa Claus. He doesn't answer all of our requests. But that thought that Santa exists only for the child brought so many things into perspective. I started to be like, okay, well, that's why Santa exists. Why does God exist? God exists to be worshipped. Why do we exist? We exist to worship, which means that everything that comes to us as blessings is just that, a blessing. It's extra. It changes your whole perspective on things. Santa Claus, that's not God. And I'm glad it's not. Because like a child, I don't know what's good for me. I don't know what I need. I think I do. I think I do, but I'd much rather have him lead the way because he knows. Like, he knows what I need, right? And like I said, it's a relationship. I'm going to make that correlation a lot because I think there's a lot of cool illustrations in that idea of being a relationship, right? The very nature of God, who he is and what he is, has to become a part of us in order for us to come to terms with him and understand why he does what he does. And I really feel like that thought is worth sharing twice. The very nature of God has to become a part of us in order for us to come to terms with him and his decisions. We need to understand him. The more we understand him, the less we're going to be like, don't know why God would do that to me. I don't know why I'm under such persecution. I don't know why God is choosing to do these things. I don't understand. The more that we get in touch with his nature, the less we're going to ask those questions. Right? We need to understand his nature. He doesn't exist for the sole purpose of pleasing us. He's not Santa. He's so much bigger. So seek to understand his nature. Seek to understand his nature. Now let's be honest, for the sake of argument for a second, would you really want a Santa Claus God? would you really want a Santa Claus God? Like, at first thought, I kind of asked myself that question. I was like, well, it'd be kind of cool, right? But no, in the long run, a God that is limited to our requests and our desires would be terrible. Or do you want a God who will push your understanding to unimaginable places? I don't want my God to work within my boundaries of understanding because those boundaries are small in compared to his, in comparison with his. See, I can't even use the right words. It's like my understanding is nothing compared to his. He longs to bless us in crazier ways than we could ever draw up in our mind. I think of this idea like we ask God, God, give me a house. Give me a house. I need a place to live. Give me a house. Do you want a God that says, okay, here you go. I'm going to bless you like Santa? Or do you want a God who says, no, wait on my timing and I'll give you a castle? Too often, we're far more expedient than that. We want it now. We're in a struggle. We're in a pinch. We want him to help us right now, and there's no patience. Instant prayer gratification is so selfish on our part, or at least the desire of it. Wait on him. Lean on him. Right? Lean on his will, not yours. Because what are we doing? What are we doing when we act that way with God? I can tell you that it wouldn't work in any other relationship in our life. I talk, you listen, you give me what I've demanded, regardless of what you think or how you feel, or how it will affect anything else in existence, serve me. How do I know that that's the prayer that we're praying? Because I do nothing to listen to you after I'm done talking. It's so gross. There is no conversation. I pray, you listen, results. That's terrible. How about this? And this is the last illustration that I kind of want to leave you with. Because this is where we're kind of going to head in the coming weeks. The root of what I want to tell you guys this morning is that we need to learn how God talks. We need to learn how God talks. Why? Because he will never change and we are always changing. Why expect God, who knows everything, to talk in our language when he's never changing? Maybe we need to adapt. Why should we expect him to adapt to us? Because we're like toddlers in this way. Think about it. When a toddler is learning and growing and developing, they learn to speak from their parents. For the child to develop correctly, the parent cannot stoop down and learn to speak toddler gibberish. Otherwise, the child never grows up or never learns, right? The parents speak like adults for the most part. I mean, of course, sometimes it's like, right? And you speak a little bit of gibberish and you go down on their level. But for the most part, if you're a parent, you hold conversation in an adult-like manner in order to help the toddler to grow eventually. It helps them in the long run if you speak like an adult in front of them, because then what do? Over time, they begin to speak like an adult. Toddler learns to speak dad rather than dad learning to speak toddler. And so that's where we're going over the next few weeks. Andrew's kind of going to, we're going to weave this together, and I think it's really neat. He's going to talk about walking with God. I'm going to try and talk about hearing God. I'm going to walk with him and talk with him. And rather than expecting dad to speak toddler, we're going to try and grow up. We're going to learn to hear our father and speak the language of dad. Okay? Amen? Cool. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for this idea of learning to hear you. I sometimes allow my mind to get settled in the idea that, well, that thing that I said earlier, it's like, if you want to talk to me, then you're going to talk to me. And what do I have to do? Like, I don't have to do anything. And that's not the sentiment that we should have, because it's a relationship, God. I should love you. I should want to be connected with you. And I shouldn't be relying on you to do all the work, even if you can. God, that's not a heart of love. And so, on top of praying for, honestly, Lord, I'm praying for myself and I'm praying for these people here today. I pray that as we go forward on this idea of hearing you, that you go with us, Lord. Be patient with us. And Lord, help us to have patience, because it's a journey. Toddlers don't learn to speak adult overnight. It doesn't happen. This is going to take a bit. Like, God, I long for the day where I don't have to look back into my past and see that you have been working and that you have been speaking to me in the past. Like, oh, yes, that was you. That was you, God. I don't want that, because I want to recognize you in the present. God, that's my goal as I dive deeper into this. But be patient with me, Lord, and help me to have patience in that, because it won't happen overnight. I know that it's a process. I understand that. So, Lord, I'm just praying your blessing and your guidance on each of us as we delve deeper into this idea of hearing you, understanding your nature so that we can go further with you than we could have ever imagined. Lord, I'm praying these things in Jesus' beautiful and glorious name. Amen.